Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
And that lack of noise is Damien's absence. But with us this week, we have Shannon the Movie Moxie from moviemoxie.blogspot.com. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little tired. I've been busy. I'm wrapping up all the stuff with TIFF, but other than that, I'm almost on sort of the land of normal again.
Almost. Okay,
It's in sight.
Oh, okay. Well, this week, as usual, we're going to be going through what we watched. We'll be doing news, trailers, and then we'll be talking about this film Nights and Weekends. But before we get to that, you said you've been to TIFF. You spent the last week or so going to this festival. How was it, and what can you tell us about it?
It was a lot. TIFF is quite the experience. It's like 10 days, you know, start to finish, but the process of TIFF goes like starts in July. Well, what do you guys want to know? Because there's so much that happened and I saw so much. Is there anything in particular that you're curious about?
You see Gentlemen Broncos. Was that playing? I can't remember if that was playing at TIFF.
I think that was Telluride. I don't know.
No, that was... Well, I didn't see that or hear it.
Aww. You make me sad.
You just start out with what you loved most and about the experience of going, and then maybe if, like, you leave something out that I think I want to hear about, I'll ask you.
Sure, okay. So, for me, one of the... Like, people go to TIFF for different reasons. A lot of people go, especially industry people, go to basically see stuff before it comes out in the regular theaters. A lot of sort of regular folk go to see people, you know, stars, you know, and also to be able to see things before they come out. I tend to go because I like to see more sort of independent foreign film, more sort of, like, art house type film, and to see, like... like foreign stars, you know, and stuff like that. People that, you know, really don't come to Toronto a lot or anything. So for me, that's really more what I try and focus on. And a couple of the really big highlights this year, the biggest highlight for sure was getting to see Valhalla Rising. And this is like a Viking sort of experiential movie by Nicholas Winding Refn. And he did the Pusher trilogy. Which is, I don't know.
Oh, is this a movie with Mads Mikkelsen?
It is a movie with Mads Mikkelsen.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. So for me, and both of them were there at the screening. And that was the, like, not only was the movie fantastic, it was really like an art, like, just, there was some violence in it that was pretty harsh. And it's, but the settings and the acting are fantastic. It's about a Viking, a one-eyed mute Viking, slave Viking, which was played by Mads Mikkelsen, of course. Sort of this trippy journey that he goes on through the film. So it's not sort of like your straight up narrative drama. Most of the people I know liked it. I know some people that walked out of it. So it's, yeah, it is the, hey, Rob. It's an experience, but both of them were there. And they had a really great Q&A and a really great introduction. And I'm a huge fan of Mads Mikkelsen, so that was a big highlight for me. Another one of the really fantastic films that I saw was the new Terry Gilliam film.
Oh, man. I'm so looking forward to that one.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. And I don't, like, for... It doesn't have a release date here in Canada yet. I think it's expected to come out around Christmas in the States.
I think so. I think that's about the date, right?
It makes sense.
It's like December, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's got a sort of... Well, end of year feeling in terms of possible, you know, Academy Award type thing. I definitely think, you know, like art direction, costuming, and possibly a couple of acting nominations would definitely make a lot of sense for the film. And it's so great. Like, it's just a fantastic, wild, bizarre world, great storytelling, fabulous integration into the unfortunate timing that Heath Ledger passed away during the filming, but ended up making making the film better in the most weird way. So that was those are the two best films that I saw this year. In terms of the films that got a fair amount of buzz, there's a small Australian film, or an independent, I should say, Australian film called The Loved Ones. Uh-huh. And this one, it won the Midnight Madness Award, and everyone just really, really loved it. It had a pretty contained cast, probably about sort of six main characters. And, like, in some ways, like, if you just looked at it, it kind of feels like torture porn in a way, but there's so much more to it. Like, it's a really great story with great acting, and for me, it just sort of like came out of nowhere. And everyone just really seemed to enjoy it, and that was one of the nice things about it, was getting to see films that actually had like really good like writing. All the performances were good, you know, and I guess because you get sort of used to it sometimes in the festival setting, so by like day six or something, you're kind of like, yeah, that was a good film. Yeah, that was a good film. Yeah, that was a good film. You know? So, but I picked a lot of narrative dramas this year, so I usually try and get a little more weirder stuff, so all the narrative stuff made me feel like a little, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's a good film. Yeah, that's a good film. Yeah, that's a good film. And there was one really weird thing that happened, was that I saw another Australian film called Last Ride, uh-huh. which is Hugo Weaving and a kid. And
oh, then
Yeah, you guys have probably seen movie. The trailer, eh?
Yeah.
Looks pretty good, eh?
It kind of does, but you're saying it almost as if it's not that good.
No, I enjoyed it, but it's kind of weird because the next day I saw The Road, uh-huh. which is Viggo Mortensen and a kid, you know, and they're like the two main characters, and it's kind of like a journey film. So it's kind of weird when things like that happen, like, the setting and the makeup of the film are kind of the same, even though the plots aren't. So, you like, when you're seeing 39 films in 10 days, you get these weird moments like that. And actually, The Road is probably one of the biggest films that I saw in terms of a film people know. And Viggo Mortensen and the young actor were both there for the introduction, which was pretty cool.
Oh, okay. And,
yeah, they got booed though.
What? Why did they get booed? What did they do this time?
They came into the theater with Montreal Canadiens jerseys on, which is a team outside of Toronto, a hockey team. Uh-huh. So people did, like, they booed them in like sort of a friendly way, if that's possible. But I thought it wasn't the classiest moment.
Were you joining in the booing?
No, I didn't.
She probably was. Yeah, I knew.
No, I took a video, and you can hear me go, aww. Which I try not to do when I'm taking them, but sometimes some chuckles, you know, come out or whatever. So, yeah. And so that one was not, The Road wasn't as good as I had hoped.
Uh-huh.
The performances are good. They made some choices, not changing it from the book, but because I had read the book and really enjoyed it, even though I'm not really into sort of big post-apocalyptic, pretty dark, sometimes violent stuff. But the book is written in a very interesting and unique style. And it's written by Cormac McCarthy, who wrote No Country for Old Men.
Right.
But the film, they made some choices in terms of defining things that in the book were ambiguous. And I preferred it being ambiguous, so that kind of changed the overall experience. So I'm almost everyone I know really enjoyed it though, so I think that I have a unique perspective on that one.
Yeah, well, that's one way to think of it.
Well, I don't always agree with everyone, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, this is true. I mean, we can't always agree on what's good or what's bad. That's all, you know, subjective, yeah. Objective, whatever that word is supposed to be. But here's a big question though. What were the movies that you thought were the worst ones that you saw there?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. I don't even usually do worst. Like, I'm not really a big fan of, like, dissing on stuff. But there were a couple. For me, there was one film called Face or Visage. And I didn't look a lot into it before it came out. And actually, it was pretty much in, like, referencing some like the Louvre museum and like a play, and I had no idea it had a narrative at all when I was watching it. I really just thought it was sequence, like beautiful sequence after beautiful sequence after beautiful sequence, and then I noticed like characters would reoccur, and I'm like, I didn't realize that was a character. I just thought that was like, you know, the guy on the left looking through the glass.
Yeah.
So, for me, that was more contextual. So the experience of the film wasn't really great because I was like,
really?
Like, I felt like I needed like some kind of prerequisite material to get. Honestly, when you go to a festival of this caliber, you're really not going to run into anything that isn't good. You know, I may not like it. Like, there's like one of the films I saw, The Warrior and the Wolf. Like, I didn't really connect to it. I didn't really understand the storytelling style, and they used some effects, but only sparingly. But it was still a good film. I just didn't really connect to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there was a couple where it was interesting. There was a couple other films where I was watching them, and I thought to myself that it felt like they were going for like a genre film, but not a genre audience, because for example, there's this film called The Ape, and the big thing about it was people weren't saying what it was about. They're like, just go see it. Don't see what it's about. And you got a sense there was a certain kind of harshness to it. So I'm like, all right, well, that sounds, except for the harshness part, it sounds pretty interesting. So I tried it, and I'm like, you know, and maybe it's because I write spoiler-free reviews. I'm like, you could talk about this film without giving anything away. Like, you can still describe like the tone of the film or the setting or something. So for me, it felt like it was a bit of a it felt a bit overhyped. Uh-huh. You know, and so when I was watching it, I was kind of like, for someone who doesn't watch genre films at all, this would be huge. But I'm like, I watch genre films all the time, so it wasn't as big of a build up to me. So
okay,
yeah.
All right. I'm just gonna ask you about a few films that I don't think you've mentioned, and you can tell me whether you've seen them or not, and what you think about them. Most of these are more known that we're going to be at the festival. I doubt you've seen them because you said you kind of go for the unknown.
Okay.
Education.
No.
Antichrist.
No, I don't. I don't do.
Daybreakers. That sounds like it's your kind of tea.
Daybreakers, I did. I actually went to the Midnight Madness screening of Daybreakers, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see it in that setting. The directors were there. Willem Dafoe was there for the beginning. Sam Neill was there for the beginning and the Q&A. The film itself, it's actually, oddly, I would feel like one of the most mainstream films there, even though it's an independent film.
Really? Like, even
and it's
as
a vampire film. It has a release date.
Are you saying that based on compared to all the other films you saw, or like just generally as a film, it struck you as really mainstream?
Oh no, not as a film. It felt really polished, like high production values, good actors, good acting, great settings. It's weird because it's sort of slightly futuristic, but I'm like, wow, we've been seeing that future for a bit now. But contextually, it makes sense for vampires, like, you know, simplistic metal, white light, UV type light, those kinds of things. But it does, for me, that, like, I feel like I've seen that a few times, but they have been working on it. The film a really long time, but it was a lot of fun. Like, as a just sort of straight up action vampire type film, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Okay. Did you happen to catch Wreck 2?
No, that is one of my biggest regrets of the festival. You can only get so many films, and doing them at midnight, I can only do a few, and that one just didn't fit, so I picked something else, unfortunately.
A couple of others that I'm interested in hearing about. Leaves of Grass, the new Edward Norton film.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
You never heard of...
That's the one where he plays twins, right?
I think he plays twins. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because I think all I've really seen is a poster and read a couple of things on it, but nothing
really definitive. No,
no, I didn't even hear anything about it.
By the way, quick question. Did you watch Max Manus?
What?
Oh, I guess not.
He's asking if you happen to have seen Max Manus.
No.
All right.
Not even familiar with that.
Two others, and then I'll ask one that I know you've seen. Up in the Air, the new Jason Reitman film?
No.
No,
no, that was actually probably the hardest film to get into.
Oh, okay. And the Werner Herzog film, My Son, What Have You Done?
No, I didn't see either that or A Bad Lieutenant. So I'm a fan of Herzog, but his film, I actually forgot that he had films this year. So.
All right, well, I heard that you actually got around to watching The Damned United.
Oh, yes! I actually wanted to talk about The Damned United, because you guys have seen it, right, obviously.
Well, Andrew has, I haven't.
I've seen it, yeah.
He talked to Michael Sheen about it the other day, apparently.
Are you serious?
No, he's joking.
Okay. I'm like, really? Like, I want to talk to Michael Sheen.
Only if you promise not to mention Twilight. That's my only rule. No.
He's in New Moon.
Yeah, it is.
the thing is that I tweeted about that I saw the film and I added him because he's on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I accidentally spelled the name wrong and he kind of called me out on it. So that was me talking to... whatever, yeah, it's kind of stupid.
That's funny.
So yeah, what did you think of The Damned United?
I thought it was great. It was actually one of the best films I saw at the festival. For me, it's a bit strange because I'm not a huge football fan, so contextually I didn't know anything about the person he was portraying or the scenario or any of that kind of stuff. So for me, it was a treat because not only was it a good like sport film biopic, it was actually acted as a good drama because I had no idea what was going to happen.
Actually, for me, what I think is the biggest strength for the film is that it's not about the sports. Most sports films are all about the team overcoming, but this is really just about his relationship with his assistant coach.
Yeah, and it was so nice to see Timothy Spall in sort of like a regular everyday man character as opposed to like a super like character actor.
Wormtails.
He does that a lot. Yeah, exactly. And he was so lovely as the assistant manager. Now, they did show some football footage, some linked archival.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and then the other stuff just sort of looked like guys in shorts, just running around.
No, but, yeah, I mean, my only problem with the film, really, was that I think it's a good drama, but just not that great. Just not a great drama. And also, from a footballing perspective, I kind of laughed and chuckled throughout the movie, because Derby, currently, not a very good team. Neither Leeds United. So, every time I saw them praising the team...
But wasn't that part of it? But that was a long time ago, right?
Yeah,
that
I just felt like laughing. Because if you've been watching football within the last 5 years, you'd have seen what Leeds and Derby look like, and you would laugh as well.
Right, okay. But it is set in the late 60s, really.
It's set in the 70s, 80s, I believe.
No, it's 69 to 74, I think.
Oh, maybe.
Oh,
I'm
right. Andrew, I thought you were the big football
man. I can check
man.
My notes if you'd like.
IMDb. United.
Somebody's getting owned here.
No. Oh, on a football point.
Yes.
Never thought that would. There were a couple other like really really good films that I would just like to pop in there if you guys don't mind. There's just a few. One is The Disappearance of Alice Creed. This film, it blew me out of the park. It's literally just like three people. It's a thriller. You don't want to know anything about it. The acting and the writing are so tight that I couldn't believe it. And one of the people in it is Martin Compston, and he was in Sweet 16 and True North, and I think he was in Red Road. It was in Red Road, but it was honestly, one of the best films I've seen in a really long time. It's really, the tension's really high for a lot of it. And also, I'm sure you guys are both going to go see this, Whip It, the Drew Barrymore's directorial debut of it, Roller Derby.
Yeah. And you're saying that one
I'm
was really good.
Good. It looks like
it was good. Really good.
Oh, cool, because I want to watch that. And just to say, you are right, I checked up on Wikipedia, Brian Clough managed Derby between 67 and 73. I wasn't even even thought of in the world. I don't care.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that was it. And someone mentioned in the chat room, and it's true, Deliver Us From Evil is a very, very strong film. I found it, to me, it was just too harsh. It's one of those films that sort of explores the darker side of human nature, and I don't really need to go there. So. But everyone I know saw it, loved it, it got picked up.
All right. Is there anything about TIFF this week, besides the films themselves, like seeing a certain director talk about his film, seeing like any experience you had during the week that was related to TIFF but not exactly the film, watching a good film or whatever that you would like say a highlight of the week for you?
Well, honestly, seeing Mads Mikkelsen was. was pretty freaking amazing. Literally being 10 feet away from him, he jumped into the audience to talk to someone, and like people came out of the woodwork to talk to him. And I had this moment where I'm like, I should go see something. I should go see something. And like, I couldn't do it. Just not that forward. But I did walk by Samantha Morton. She directed a film this year called The Unloved. But there wasn't anything that was... I think that's part of it this year. There wasn't anything that was really something that stood out. Going to see Ong Bak 2, the closing night Midnight Madness film. The film makes no sense. The martial arts are great. It makes no sense. But the energy in the room was just so high. And I knew so many people that were there. And people were just all over the place, you know, cheering, clapping, all that kind of stuff. So
sounds like a fun time.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and I did walk by Alex Billington.
Did you?
That was it. That was surreal, because I'm like, hey, I recognize that person. How do I? Oh, I know who that is. It's weird.
Didn't you go up and say, hey, how are you doing? You know, go watch older movies.
No. He was talking to some girl, so I was just like, oh, this lady.
Why are you being so mean to Alex?
No, he knows that I jest. I've had this conversation with him. I asked him about like why people dog him and what does he think and stuff. And he's all right. You know, he knows that I jest. And if he doesn't, I jest, sir. Anyways, that's awesome. So TIFF good. I hope to make it there 1 year in the near future.
Yeah, you should definitely come up for it.
Anyways.
Big sigh.
Yeah. Because I know I probably will never see those films.
Yeah.
Well, you saw the Damn United.
Yes, I did. Well, you know, DVDs.
Yeah.
Or otherwise. Moving on.
You could just edit
What's
that out.
What's that supposed to mean, Andrew?
Hey, whatever.
You're just saying?
Just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
I get you.
What I watched this week, just to get into that, today I got around to finally watching one of the worst films of 2009 that have come out so far.
Year one. You notice I didn't push for us to go to the movies. I saw you got it and I still haven't watched it. I didn't think it was gonna be good.
Remember, we were going to go because we wanted to test out the new
you
Cineplex.
Noticed we didn't.
Yeah, but that was whatever. This movie's bad. But at the same time, I don't think it's as bad as everyone is making out to be, because I did chuckle like
is Jack
three
Black
times.
In?
Yeah.
It's bad.
I wouldn't see that if you paid me. Literally. Lots. You could offer a lot. And I'd be like, no, I'd rather look at this wall.
Yes. I kind of just sat there and I was like, yeah, let me look at this, whatever. And I had an hour and a half. Let me do it. It was bad. Yeah. Michael Cera, not funny. Jack Black, not funny. I thought some of the women were pretty hot.
Well, David Cross and Paul Rudd were in there. Was their scene at least any good?
Not that good, no.
Really?
The trailer gave away most of it.
Aww.
I think like the funniest thing to me was Hank Azaria and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, I think his name is, Fogel from Superbad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their bits were kind of funny. Hank Azaria, I think, is a funny dude. And Oliver Platt is kind of funny, too. But it's really not a good film overall. At all.
Sadness.
Don't watch it. Don't rent it. Maybe one night when you can't go to sleep and it's on HBO and you have that cable, just press it on and then after 5 minutes you'll find out it's shit and you'll turn it off and fall asleep.
Well, also, was this... The unrated version?
I did watch the unrated version.
So maybe that had something to do with it.
I doubt it.
The unrated things don't work most of the time. I don't know what Apatow did for Knocked Up, but that's the only one so far.
Yeah, super bad as well.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyways, another film I saw this week, I finally got around. I thought I had seen this film before, but I guess I'd only seen bits or I've forgotten it completely, was John Hughes' last film, Curly Sue.
Oh, gosh, I haven't seen that one. I didn't know that was him.
starring that dude. And
James Belushi.
James Belushi.
Come on, man.
A little girl who's cute and no one else needs to know who else is.
She's got curly hair.
They're on the cover. That's it.
This was obviously John Hughes staying away from his regular jokes, and he was moving more towards doing something like a Three Stooges kind of comedy, because there was definitely a lot of slapsticky moments and moments when like someone get hit by a door and the Three Stooges style sound effects would come in and all of that would happen. And this movie wasn't as funny as it was a movie with heart.
Heartfelt. Did you cry?
I didn't cry, but anyway.
Did you sob?
No, I didn't.
Did you
sob.
Weep?
No.
No?
No.
Not even like a little bit of mist?
No mist. A little at the end.
I thought so. Okay.
You know, it's all about family and coming together, but, you know, it's an okay film. Still stick with all the others for me, for John Hughes, The Breakfast Club for the win. I finally got to see Inglourious Basterds. I know you can't hear this, but I'm smiling. I don't know if we've mentioned this, but I kind of like Tarantino movies. Kind of. This movie is fucking awesome. There's no other way to put this. Like, I mean, I have a few nitpicks, and I think I might go and rewatch it this week.
You might.
I will. What Especially because the there's nothing good at the theater.
Yeah, right. You're going to watch Sorority Row anyway, and then you're going to hate yourself for doing it and say, you know what, I have to watch Inglourious Basterds twice because I saw that film. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen Inglourious Basterds, Shannon?
No, I don't do World War II movies, and I certainly don't think they should be made into comedies.
I'm frowning right now.
It's too soon, and you can say shame on me all you like, but I don't think it's something to treat into a comedy. Even if people are talking about it as sort of like a fantasy revenge flick. No, I just don't. It isn't for me. It doesn't do anything for me, so...
Curiosity. So, like, have you seen The Producers?
No.
No?
And what I've seen of it, I'm not interested in seeing.
What have you seen of it?
Some kind of dance number.
Yes, thank you. Great description for a musical.
Well, it was with two, like, not very attractive guys and one very attractive woman. I'm like... So this is like fantasy or what?
Was this recent or old? Is this Gene Wilder or Matthew Broderick?
I don't know. Old.
Oh,
maybe new.
I like the old
know.
One more than
I've
the new one.
I've never seen the old one, actually, to tell you the truth. I'm with you, Shannon. I didn't like the new one that much, and I love Gene Wilder, but I don't know if I'd like the old one.
Is there some connection between the two films?
It's a remake.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds is a remake of The Producers.
Oh, no, he's just saying it because
there's a Nazi timeline. Song on The Producers, yeah. Right?
No, it's because in The Producers they're making this Broadway show called Springtime for Hitler.
Oh, right. They do that in the old one, too? I thought that was just like some sort of new shock value.
Everything is rehashed, basically, in the film. I mean, whatever. Yeah, Springtime for Hitler, and it's a huge musical number, and it's pretty much a comedy on Hitler and everything, and I just wanted to know if you had seen that and what you had thought of it, but YouTube it. YouTube up Springtime for Hitler.
Okay.
No, just that
the only Nazis I like are zombie Nazis.
Oh, so you're okay with Nazis being shown as zombies, but not, like, laughing at them?
Well, Dead Snow is a very unique...
And I'm sure you didn't laugh in the zombie film, did you?
I haven't seen it.
No, I did. No, I said that's the only kind that I'd like, is that kind.
You didn't laugh at it? No.
I did.
You did.
Please.
Leave the girl alone. She no. has her principles and she's sticking to them.
Tarantino must be loved.
These are also like Nazi zombies, so they're like dead and like resurrected. It's not like going back and taking a real scenario and turning it into like a comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm kind of with you there. I actually didn't know until I was very far into the movie that this movie was like complete fiction. I thought, I knew it was fiction, but I didn't, I thought it was going to be a side story as opposed to this could actually have happened. You know, instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, anyways. Sorry if it's not a comedy.
Anyways, just to let everyone know, go and see Inglourious Basterds and don't listen to Shannon. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Harsh.
That's okay, Shannon. I'm okay with that. I also saw one other film this week, Easy Virtue. It's this movie Damon's been pushing me to watch with Jessica Biel, who I always think is a plus for watching a film. And it's a movie about this British family, and Jessica Biel being an American is married into this British family. And shock value when the son comes home with the American, you know, and all of these jokes that go around being America versus England kind of jokes, you know, and everything is...
Did they make hot dog jokes?
No, they didn't make hot dog jokes. Aww. But this was like... after the war kind of time. So.
After the war or after a war?
World War II.
Okay, no.
After World War II. Yeah. Like, just after, I think. So of course, you know, you can you see the estate getting into financial trouble and all sorts of things going on. And I think the movie really wasn't that great. It wasn't funny enough to be a comedy, and it wasn't... didn't have enough of a point to...
to be a movie? It wouldn't have been enough of a point.
What's the film's motivation?
The film's motivation is to stare at Jessica Biel. I don't know. Like, I
that's too bad. I thought it sounded pretty good to me.
I was looking forward to it, because I remember when I saw the trailer last year, and I was like, yeah, this looks like a good movie, and then, of course, I have to wait 5 billion years to see a DVD, and then I borrow it, and... blah.
My chair has static electricity.
It's a plastic chair. How can
my
I do?
Ears are like being attracted to the chair.
Yeah, that's all I really saw this week that I really want to talk about.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So sad. I thought you were going to steal what I...
No, I'm leaving that watching. For you. You know,
I don't know if I've been watching much else. I was like, oh boy, he's going to take it.
So Douglas, what have you been watching this week?
I've been watching this week? Okay, I have been watching this show called Veronica Mars. I did not
awesome.
Watch it. Yes.
Yes, I finished season one as well.
Yes, I just finished season one. I'm about... 2 1/3 quarters episodes into season 2. Clearly I'm enjoying this show. I didn't watch it when it first came out.
Go watch Buffy.
Shut up. I might. I don't know. Maybe when there's, you know, like no other shows to watch.
Go watch Buffy now.
But this is a cool show. I mean, it's got, what the hell is her name?
Kristen
Bell. Yes.
Bell.
Right.
Forgetting
yeah.
Sarah Marshall Girl.
I know, Forgetting Sarah Marshall Girl. I didn't actually think she was all that in that movie. I guess she was what she was, but whatever.
Yeah, that was surprising. I thought her performance would have been stronger, but.
Yeah.
Not so much.
True. That was an awesome movie.
She has a new movie coming out which looks really bad.
Is it. Does it have anything to do with Daniel Baldwin and. Dark ominous tones.
No, it's okay. it's
oh yeah,
it's
movie I
called
ran across
When
it
in Rome.
Too.
It's like this really horrible looking romantic comedy kind of thing.
Oh yeah, what's it called?
When in Rome.
Oh, sorry. Oh, When in Rome is that?
I think that's her one.
No,
yeah,
I don't
that's
know
to me
that
in 2010. She's also in Couples Retreat.
Oh yeah, that's true. That
looks
movie
bad as well.
Bad. It's got all these like people that were
look at that poster
stars. Oh yeah, that's like the. It's just her. Essentially, it's like, look at this lady. She is pretty. Come watch this movie.
Anyways, go on about Veronica. Go
yeah, because that's never worked before. Jessica Biel.
I didn't say it wouldn't work. I just, you know, I just made fun of it.
Jessica Biel's also in good movies, though.
Yes, she is. Like, I've always made the argument that for some reason, like, you can always find a pair of actors or actresses that happen to come out at the same time.
and I will always pin them against each other. And sometimes I'll even mix them up in my thoughts until they have become so successful that I no longer mix them up. And with Jessica Biel, I always mixed her up at the beginning with Jessica Alba. And they came out
so different. Jessica's like 6'10". You know,
She's an Amazon.
Jessica Biel is 6'10", and the other Jessica is,
I don't know what it is, but I just did. All right,
blonde and brunette. You know,
hair changes all
very
the
very skinny, slightly larger boned. You know, come on, dude. This.
No, but they're both named Jessica. Right?
This is true.
So it's not necessarily the look. I know I have people like that. There's like I couldn't for a long time figure out who Peter Sarsgaard was.
Oh,
and then
I
realized
him.
I actually don't know who he is. Like that's what the thing was. I hadn't seen him.
You know who he is now, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, okay. But for a long time, everyone was like, "Oh, he's in this," and I'm like, "I think I know who he is." And I was thinking Stellan Skarsgård and Peter Stormare, the guy from Fargo, and I was just like, "No." So it's weird. Some actors are like that. It's hard time. Sometimes you have a hard time to remember everyone, right?
Yeah, I know. They get mixed up in there, and I've always been pinning them against each other, and I've always said Jessica Biel is what Jessica Alba wishes she could be.
Oh, well, that just makes it crazy.
I think that's unhealthy, Andrew.
You
need to get that checked out.
Anyways, you were talking about some TV show that I don't know about.
I was watching Veronica Mars, so I like it. It's kind of cool. And
watch
that's
Buffy.
About it. You guys need to, you know, who are listening, watch the show. It's kind of neat. And seeing as I have watched more than one season of this show in the last week, I don't think I've watched anything else. That's about it. So that plus Inglourious Basterds, which I actually enjoyed, but at the same time, I don't know. There was something about it I didn't quite like, but it's still a decent movie. Andrew's just pointing this out. I did watch another movie this week. I watched Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh!
Andrew watched it as well, and he apparently despised it. I don't know why, but I kind of liked it, sort of. It was okay. It was a fun little kids movie. Not as good as, say, the usual Pixar fare, but...
Were you familiar with the story from the book?
No, I am not. Why did they change it? Or
no, it's just I haven't seen it, but I know that it's based on a book. And
it's a picture book. It doesn't have a story.
You can tell a story with pictures.
Andrew, all the books you read are picture books anyway. Come on,
my picture books have words in them. No, I mean it's like a children's book, like it's like the book in black books, you know. Is the balloon up in the air? No, it is not.
Good calm.
Yeah, an episode in Black Books. I love that episode.
They're teaching the gangster how to read that one.
And they get really drunk and they decide to write a children's book. Have you ever seen the show Black Books, Shannon?
The which ones?
Black Books.
With Dylan Moran and Bailey. Bill Bailey is his name?
I think his name is.
No, Bilbo is his character in the show. Oh no, you're right. It might be Bilbo. I don't know what the hell his name is. But Dylan Moran, he's the... you might know him from...
I recognize the name.
From Shaun of the Dead. Bill Bailey.
He's amazing. He was...
he was the accountant / professor.
I'm trying to remember if he was in...
Run, Fat
a
Boy,
film
Run?
With me in it.
With you in
with
it?
With what? Huh?
A film with me in it. Dylan Moran, yeah. Let me check before I actually say it.
A film with... Wait.
Hold on. Let's let her look up what she's looking up. Because
it's an Irish film that I saw last year at the festival by Ian Fitzgibbon. It's a film called A Film With Me In It.
Oh!
And, yeah. I was in a movie?
The two of us were...
Not so much.
Going insane for a moment. We're like, whoa.
Yeah, I never heard of Black Books. But I would see anything that he was in. He's fantastic.
It's an awesome TV show. It's hilarious.
Okay, so now I actually think I need to see this movie, A Film With Me In It.
Yeah.
This sounds very good, especially seeing as Dylan Moran is in it. I love that.
And it's actually, ironically, it's a rather dark comedy.
Yeah.
So that's not usually my forte, but it was just brilliant.
Awesome.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is in it.
Oh, goodness gracious, why? Why, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, do you have to sully every good movie I like?
I haven't even seen the movie.
he's barely in it. Like, it's basically a cameo.
Thank God. I hate him.
Actually, you'll probably like his role in it.
Oh, really?
If that's your reaction to him, then it'll probably totally work.
Yes!
Yeah, okay. You've gone through TIFF, but is there anything else you'd like to mention that you saw this week that you want to talk about other than TIFF? I doubt it.
I've only seen TIFF films. I think the most recent film I saw before TIFF was like 500 Days of Summer.
Shut up, I hate you.
Oh, that's not out there?
No, it's not. They showed a trailer for the first time this week. And it wasn't even in like the coming Wednesdays or the coming soon. It was just like a trailer somewhere off in the distance.
It was very good, so...
I'm so upset because I've been to the States twice since it came out and I still haven't seen it. I watched Taking Woodstock and G.I. Joe instead.
You go to the States to watch movies?
No, I went to the States twice because my friend got married, and I went once for the bachelor party and once for the wedding, and we just so happened to have went to a movie each time.
Well, sure, if you got time to kill, it's always a good thing to do.
Exactly.
I still laugh at him that he went to G.I. Joe.
I like G.I. Joe.
No. You see, I think G.I. Joe is a fun movie, but you see, the thing is, is that we had seen the movie here the night before he went. And then when he flew up the next day, the guy was like, we bought tickets for a movie. And then they went to the house, the movie theater, and the guy was like, here, and it had G.I. Joe on it. And so he watched it 2 days in a row. And I don't think I could have done that.
I totally could have done that. I had so much fun watching it.
Yeah, it was an okay movie. But like, I was just so upset because I really wanted to see 500 Days of Summer, and it was playing at the movie theater. So, you know.
Yeah, well, that definitely is a better movie.
That's one way to put it.
And it has Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it as well.
Yeah, yes. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I used to kind of shrug him off because he was in 30 Rock from the Sun, but I like him now.
Brick.
Exactly.
Moving on.
That's what I'm saying. I like him now because of what he's done. Come on.
Moving on to news. One thing that came out this week was the Coen brothers were talking about... They're thinking about, not necessarily it's going to happen or whatever. First of all, they said pretty much no to a Big Lebowski spin-off with the Jesus.
And they said that the Jesus was in.
And they said that they're thinking about the idea of doing a sequel to Barton Fink.
Have you seen Barton Fink, Shannon?
No, I haven't seen Barton Fink, and I turned off Big Lebowski. So.
What do you think about the Coen brothers in general?
Andrew, how do you hang up the phone?
You have to be where I'm
sitting.
Keep
away from the controller.
No, you don't seem to realize. She's insulted Quentin Tarantino, and I haven't hung up on her yet.
I do not
There's
insult
no
Quentin
reason.
Tarantino.
There's no
I
reason.
Insulted the content and the choice.
To insult the content is to insult the man. Whatever. What do you think of the Coen brothers in general?
Well, I don't... Like, I actually don't see a lot of their work. Like,
What have you seen from them?
Fargo. What else have they done that's after that but before?
No Country for
no
Old
Country
Men.
No Country for Old Men.
There's Intolerable Cruelty.
I think... Was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou before Fargo or after?
Oh, God,
I
hated Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. I hated... That's probably what made me stop watching their films. I don't understand what the heck they were trying to do with that. I just was offended and annoyed and, like, confused through the entire film. And I know people love it, and that's fine.
I'm totally okay with you not liking the film, right? But just out of curiosity... Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? What in that offended you?
Oh, this sounds like it's a long list.
Because I mean,
this is like a long time ago. Like, I saw that. Like, literally, I think I was. you know.
If you can't remember, that's okay. But I mean, it just doesn't look like the kind of film that would offend anyone to me.
No, there was something. I don't know if there was something that they did that was. It was something racial.
Oh, was
and
it
I
the?
Think it was indirect or
was it
inferred
the black guy that was pushing the? It's not a caboose. You know that thing that you put up and down like a seesaw, and then it drives around
on the tracks.
On the tracks. Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
I don't know.
I don't. To be honest, I don't remember it. But it was also something about the.
Was it?
It just didn't work for me.
Oh, all right. They also did Burn After Reading, which came out last year.
I didn't see that.
Intolerable Cruelty, The Lady Killers, which I didn't really like that much.
This is true.
And of course, No Country for Old Men.
I haven't seen it. I do have it. It is on my list. I know it's supposed to be amazing. You know.
The usual.
Alright, so Douglas. Uh-huh. What do you think of this news?
Actually, to tell you the truth, you know some might call it fanatic. I think of it as warranted.
Man love?
affinity towards the Coen brother material, but I'm not very pleased with the news. Either way, because there were two things that came out. You actually didn't see this article, but you said they were talking about possibly doing Barton Fink Part 2. And I read just a little bit about how they didn't really want to do it now, but maybe sometime in the future there'd be something for the Jesus. Actually, I don't think either of these projects would pan out to be that great. I love Jesus in The Big Lebowski as a bit character that had 2 minutes of screen time. But I don't know how well he'd work as a main character in his own movie for an hour and a half or 2 hours or however long these guys decide to make it.
Let me tell you something, Pandeo. You pull any of your crazy shit with us, you flash a piece out on the lane.
Andrew.
Take it away from you and stick it up your ass and pull the fucking trigger till it goes click.
Jesus.
You said it, man. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Okay. I just felt like doing that. That just came up.
And that scene was hilarious, but could you see that scene getting played out 100 more times throughout an hour and a half and be not just, you know, kind of annoying?
Yeah, I agree with you on the Big Lebowski bit. Yeah, I don't think that one should happen at all.
At the same time, these are the Coen brothers and they have done miracles. So I'm not going to say it can't happen. Anyway, on to number two, Barton Fink.
Hey, I can put in my 2 cents on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean. Like,
actually, I think it's totally cool that they're going to go for something that's a film, like, you know, not their whatever. You know, if people really want them to do something from Lebowski and they want to go for something else, I think that's more power to them. I think it's an awesome idea to, use the same character with the same actor, but a long time later and wait till he's aged to the age that they want him and then do it again. I think that's awesome. I won't see it. Just kidding. Barton Fink is on my list. It's on my list.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've seen Barton Fink before. I do need to watch it again, but I wasn't extremely thrilled with it. The funny thing is, the first time I saw it, I didn't know. Not the first time, the only time I've seen it. I didn't know it was a Coen Brother film. It makes sense that it is. That's a weird ass movie. yeah. But. I thought it was kind of like, I could watch it, but not a big fan. So I wouldn't really be looking forward to a number two to that one. But again, this is a Coen Brother film. I need to watch it again just to make sure because they are, like, fantastic. There are very few movies from them that I do not like.
Oh, I forgot that they did the Hudsucker Proxy. That was
Yes,
really
they
awesome.
Did. That was an amazing
film. That was
fantastic.
Film.
We can be friends again.
I think that was my intro to the Coen Brothers. I think that might have been my first movie.
I think my first was Oh Brother.
No.
And I love that movie.
Yeah, Oh Brother's really good. You hear that, Shannon? Really good.
Okay, we were doing good here, guys.
we're gonna glide past that. Personally, I've seen Barton Fink, and I didn't enjoy it as much as most people do, but when I've gone back and I've read reviews and listened to some people talk about it, and when they talk about the idea of the film and what it's really meaning, like, I think it's a really good film. Like, just like when you're in high school and you're reading, like, poetry, and you're going through the poetry and you're like, that sounds cool, looks cool, but I don't get it, until someone, like, just takes it up and shows you exactly what the guy's meaning, and you're like, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, I don't know if you heard about it, but it's really a huge metaphor for writer's hell. Like, and with
by writer's hell, you mean writer's block?
Like, the writer's block and this area is his idea of what writer's hell is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You kind of get that from the film, the way the film is. You know, he moves from his area where he was doing well and he had his stuff going for him, and now he's into this seedy kind of Hollywood place where everything's flashy, but behind the flash there's all of this crap going on, and in the hotel is just crazy. You know?
So I mean, I appreciate the film now, but I don't think it's the kind of film that I'd ever revisit, at least not for now. Like, I'd have to wait a while before I pick it up again. And, like, just out of ideas, like, is there any Coen Brothers film that you'd ever want to see a sequel for? That you think could make a good sequel, Douglas?
Make a good sequel? I don't know. They do such unique stories that it would be very difficult. That's a good... Well... Yeah, I'm coming up with nothing here, really.
Yeah, I don't think any of their films really even hint or work in the way that they can have a sequel. The only one
a sequel for Blood Simple.
I was actually gonna say Intolerable Cruelty is the only one that I think maybe.
Why Intolerable Cruelty? And I've lost my earphones, so I can't hear what Shannon's saying.
Because I mean, like, as much as the story is, all they have to do is pick up all the characters again and start some zaniness, and they've got a sequel.
Well, there's always a way to make a sequel.
Yeah.
No, you see, there's always a way to make a sequel and then make me angry because the sequel ends up bad and didn't need to be made or whatever. You know, it's like people talking about The Matrix.
Sequels could have worked. Those Wachowskis just didn't know what they were doing.
Oh!
So, Shannon, like, of your limited Coen Brothers, is there anything that you think could make a good sequel?
Actually, to be honest, I don't think that they... their stories are so unique, and storytelling style is so... complete that I don't think it actually makes that much sense. If they wanted to, like, if it was their vision, they can make it work, but in general they really feel like standalone films and universes that really, you know, have like end.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, definitely.
Back to agreeing. Yay!
We've forgotten all of those arguments already. Moving on, another news item that hit this week. The Emmys were this week, and Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog won an Emmy.
I'm sad I didn't watch that show.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, where did you watch the Emmys? Because I looked it up, and I couldn't figure out which one it won.
Yeah, I didn't see the Emmys. Andrew, I think, watched it.
I didn't watch all of the Emmys. I watched, like, a little bit, because it was on at the same time as Kevin Pollak's chat show.
Oh, okay, but was it that Whedon won for that show, or was it that the show itself
The show
because
itself.
Because I know Whedon won an Emmy that was not aired on TV.
No, I think that was the same Emmy.
Oh, that was the
that
same
was
one?
Just for the show, which was not in the actual Emmys that was on TV. It was a different presentation that was like a week before. And it was for, like...
How they do the technical Oscars?
It was something to do with, like, mini TV production or something, and they threw it in there. Like,
because they got a nomination. I just couldn't find anywhere where they won anything. And it's strange for them to even be nominated, considering it wasn't on television.
Yeah, that's the thing that people are going crazy about. The internet is actually winning the war.
if by winning the war you mean winning one Emmy out of how many do they give, like 200, then sure, that's winning.
And of course, yeah,
0.05%, awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog won an Emmy, which I think is awesome because I love the internet. I love Joss Whedon. The Buffy's awesome. And he's even talking about the fact that this whole Dr. Horrible thing might not be dead. He's just thinking about new ideas to write down for some more content for it. Like, do we want more Dr. Horrible nor more Neil Patrick Harris singing awesome songs?
I don't care if it's Dr. Horrible, but I need my Neil Patrick Harris.
I was actually watching some Dr. Horrible before we started recording. What about you, Shannon? What are your thoughts on Dr. Horrible?
My God, that's so funny. Well, I enjoyed the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. I really enjoyed the first two parts. The third part I wasn't super, super keen on. But I'm a big Joss Whedon fan. You know, I loved Buffy and Angel and Firefly and Serenity, so I'm always keen to see what work he's doing, because he's got a very interesting nobody writes like him. Nobody writes like him. So he's got just such a good pulse on creating dialogue and bizarre situations that it's always fun to watch what he comes up with.
By the way, Shannon, I noticed you didn't mention Dollhouse at all. Where would you rate that in terms of the Whedon universe that he has created?
I haven't seen it. I'm gonna try the second season, but I'm not a huge fan of the woman who stars in it. So.
Dushku, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not. And I was actually very surprised at the idea of it. For me, it's a little creepy. So, and I was surprised that he did it, because he's most of the stuff he does is so like fem powered that I was a little put off by the idea. But I'm gonna give it a shot.
Okay. Yeah, it's just because I was watching it the other day and I kind of liked it, and so I was wondering if the rest of his stuff was really that good. Because
I've heard that it picks up throughout the first season.
Yeah, it does.
So.
First few episodes are kind of like but after a while it gets really good, especially that last episode, Andrew, the one that never actually aired. No, that is a keeper.
Yes, we'll keep talking about that episode.
The rest of the show just like that, I would have loved it to death.
As okay.
Opposed to just thinking it's good.
And I mean, Neil Patrick Harris was awesome hosting the Emmys of what I saw. I saw his intro, which was an awesome song piece. And I also saw the Dr. Horrible thing that happened during the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened with Dr. Horrible during the show, Andrew?
Like, during the show, like, at one presentation, which was obviously made to not be seen, they were like, the accountants are going to come out and explain shit. And then they come out, and then the screen gets fuzzied, and Dr. Horrible comes on with a taped thing where they talk about how they won an Emmy. And and then he's taking over the Emmys, and then he goes away after 2.5 minutes, and the accountants are done.
Did he do his evil laugh?
Yes, he did.
Has he perfected it yet?
No, I think he's still working on it. But he's in the Evil League of Evil, so...
Oh, he is! Oh, yeah, that's right. He got into the league at the end.
Yeah.
Is he now head guy? Is Crazy Horse, like, completely a number two now?
I don't know. They didn't mention it. They just talked about the Emmy and that they're taking over the show, and it was funny.
Okay.
You should go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'll probably figure something out. Get a couple of YouTube videos going.
Alright, another thing that happened this week was Nigeria decided they want to try and ban District 9 from being shown in Nigeria.
You make it sound like it's so difficult for a government to ban a movie in their place. Like, if I am the government of a country, how do I make it so that nobody
if I
can
am
watch
the government
in my country?
Shannon, have you seen District 9?
I have.
What do you think about this idea of them banning the movie? Yes, you can get Wi-Fi, Douglas.
I'm trying to get Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Shannon.
I felt really complicated about District 9 to the point where I actually didn't even review it. I also felt really complicated about the reaction to it, especially when it first came out and everyone was talking about how it was, like, the best film of the year. And I was like, really? 'Cause to me, it kind of feels like, you know, it's giving you a context, and there's the possibility of a commentary there, but it's not really commenting on anything, and then it's providing you with an action film. And I felt very uncomfortable with people like cheering along with anyone, because you just saw the atrocities of sort of like, you know, the possible atrocities of human nature, and that just was really not working for me.
But like, the Nigerians in the film is obviously why they want to ban it, because the Nigerians are like huge con artists and gangsters running the District 9 in the film. Like, do you think that it's unfair representation of the Nigerians?
Well, I'm not a real expert on, like, Nigerian culture, so I'm not really sure how to respond to that. But the only thing I can think of is, you know, like, you know, Canadians get misrepresented in films all the time. You know, and we don't, I don't think, try and ban the films, but I don't think we get misrepresented in that way. Because the film was such a big success, I can understand why they would want to be sensitive to it, but I'm not sure, I'm not sure what purpose it serves. Like, unless they're worried about people getting angry about the film and causing trouble, I'm not sure why they would want to ban it.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I think it's a little bit stupid to ban it just for that. I mean, it's not like, I don't get where a lot of people get offended about, like, when you, if you portray a specific character to have bad traits and then say he's from a certain place, all of a sudden you're misrepresenting a whole nation, but it's just one, like, specific person. They could have had another, like.
But you see, that's the thing about that film, is they didn't ever make any of them a character. It was all, they're the Nigerians.
Yeah, but they weren't like, they're the Nigerians who are like every Nigerian, because all Nigerians are bad. They're just like, yes, there's this group of people who came into the place. Oh, they're Nigerians.
But on the other hand, I don't think they portrayed any, like, Nigerians that weren't the Nigerians that they showed, that were part of this sort of, like, weird gang subculture black market thing.
This is true, but do you have to
but
show
then if you're not going to show both, then why even call them Nigerians? Why don't you give them a fictional name for a gang?
Well, I guess, but
or country
just,
or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't see it as being, like,
offensive.
Overtly offensive. I don't want to say being offensive, because you can say, once somebody's offended, like, even if you don't think it's offensive, then it's offensive to that person.
Like, but, brother, where art thou?
But it didn't. But, I don't see the grounds for it, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. The grounds for not showing, the grounds for banning it?
No, I just don't see the grounds for
taking offense
really at that, because,
well, would you feel the same way, like, if you know, if
they were Jamaican,
you were that person?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't get offended when I watch a movie, like a cop movie, and there's a gang of Jamaican drug dealers there. It's just a movie, and
I laugh,
right,
at it,
you know,
most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like they're saying to me, okay, this is how Jamaicans are. It's just these Jamaicans inside that group, and maybe they are trying to say that to me, but I just don't take it that way, I guess.
Right. Okay. Fair play.
I remember, what was it? I think it was Bad Boys 2. They had a bunch of Jamaicans.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that was hilarious. I still laughed at that.
That movie was horrible, though.
Yes, it was.
I had a hard time making it through that movie. I was like, this is like one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Yes.
But I mean, reading this article about Nigerians in District 9, all I can think back to is when we actually went to the film and Michelle was with us, and during intermission she was talking, laughing at the fact that the Nigerians are these gangsters taking the thing
because
over
they
the,
always
because
the
they
email
do, they
phishing
do the
thing.
Emails
is that what you're saying? That's not offensive, Andrew, sorry. No,
I keep laughing about that, because I mean, I remember when I used to get those emails, please send me $100,000 so I can do this, and you'll get back 500 in another week. I always wondered, reading those emails, if anyone actually gave up money.
Probably, that's why they keep going.
I guess. It's kind of stupid and funny at the same time.
Those darn fishers.
Are we
actually going to talk about this?
I kind of want to laugh at it.
Why are we going to talk about this?
Can I laugh at it publicly?
What's the next one?
Andrew
oh,
has...
no! This looks awesome!
Okay. So Andrew has, sitting in front of me, a poster with a burly man with wings.
He happens to be cooking something.
Well, no, he may or may not be cooking something, but we can smell it. And he's got something wrong with his eyes too. I don't get that. No, he has a news item here with the new poster for The Tooth Fairy starring The Rock.
Hurts. Is the movie The Tooth
No,
Fairy?
I think the movie is The Tooth Fairy,
oh,
but
the movie
tagline
is
The Tooth Hurts.
I thought the name of the movie was The Tooth Hurts, and that would have been less funny.
That would have been funny. But then it wouldn't explain the wings.
No, it would not.
No. So my thought is, can you just imagine the trailer coming out in like 4 or 5 months for this film? Where you see Dwayne The Rock Johnson on like a string going across the air into some child's room through the window to pull out his tooth and hand him money, and then see him flap
these
little wings.
The Tooth Fairy doesn't pull out tooths. It just takes
the
them after they're gone.
Exactly. From under
is
their
it
pillow,
there?
He
Do you guys
pulls
have different,
it from under the pillow.
Well, apparently Andrew had a Tooth Fairy where he went to sleep and then woke up with no teeth in his mouth.
Yeah.
That must have happened.
That Tooth Fairy came with a hammer.
Oh, so there's a particular, you know,
I think there must be, because I didn't have that Tooth Fairy. My Tooth Fairy waited for my teeth to fall out and go under.
Well, I think Dwayne would do this. Like, what he would do is he'd come and he'd be like, shit, this guy doesn't have a tooth out. He'd wake him up and say, come, it's time to take the tooth out. Then he rips out the tooth. I'm like, seriously, this poster just makes me smile and laugh.
It's a kid's movie. What do you expect?
I know. I'm so sad that he does so many of those. I know it makes money for him and it makes sense.
Actually,
well,
a couple
in them,
of them are really fun.
I don't enjoy most of them.
I mean, as
and
long
I
as,
really like him. I
as
think
long
he's
as he's
really
not
funny.
Doing what Vin Diesel does with the pacifier.
Actually,
oh, I like the pacifier. I thought that was fun.
It wasn't as bad as, you know.
That movie was bad.
It was better than Race to Witch Mountain.
I haven't watched
I haven't
Race to Witch Mountain yet, but I want to watch that. It looks like
it'd
be a fun
it
rock
looks awful.
Movie.
Shush.
Wow.
I didn't have this on the list, but I guess we can talk about it.
What's that?
Apparently there's a news item that came out about Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, this is the one I was talking to you about earlier.
Saying that they're putting off the production of the film because the idea is too expensive.
No. Get the quote right. It is too awesome for Fox to make. I saw that written somewhere. I think it may have been Gordon and the Whale. But, yeah. It's what, $500 million they say it might
cost? Yeah, they're
cost?
Saying that it would probably cost around that to do.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Cowboy Bebop, Shannon?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm not big on animation.
Oh. Well, Andrew got me into this one, and I really enjoy it. But the funny thing is, I was looking at a picture here that... It's generally going around the sites of all four of the main characters. Looks like they're almost in a Public Enemy type lineup. And I thought to myself, these guys look very much like the guys from The Matrix. You've got Jet Black, who, you know, has a similar figure to, say, Lawrence Fishburne. And you've got Faye, who could definitely work as Carrie Ann Moss. And I just couldn't figure out who would be Ed, the young, like... Child-looking person.
Shia LaBeouf.
Exactly. Who is very gender neutral. I didn't know who from The Matrix I could put in there. And that made me sad because I wanted it to be all Matrix people.
And there's a dog too. Is there a dog in The Matrix?
No, but we could use a black cat. Yeah.
Okay.
Just a couple of rewrites. That's fine.
I just find this as happy news because I don't want them to make the movie.
You never know, man. It could work. It could work.
I don't know. I just can't imagine that live action.
Constantine wasn't awful, and Keanu.
Oh, I liked Constantine.
Was that?
Yeah.
I like Constantine.
Yeah, I thought it was actually
a fun movie. Yeah, it's a fun movie. Easy. I like Constantine, but you see, here lies the difference. And this is where bias and stupidity comes in. Right? I had never read a Constantine or seen anything about Constantine before I saw Constantine. And it's the same deal with Watchmen. I had never read Watchmen or heard about Watchmen before I'd seen the first trailer for Watchmen.
But you read it before you saw it.
I read it before I saw the movie, but I had the image of the trailer in my mind when I was reading the book. So that might have tainted. But for things that I've seen, like animated and comic books that I've read, like, I have some trouble sometimes imagining certain properties in live action.
You know what your problem is? It's not that you have the trouble, or you do have the trouble seeing it in live action, but you only have the trouble because the only things that you've read before you've seen them are awesome books that were turned into really bad movies. Case in point, Wanted.
Oh.
I still haven't read the books. You know why? Because the movie was horrible.
I'm sure if I buy the book, you'd read it.
I thought Wanted was fun. There was a I thought there was a lot interesting there, but there were some things that were just like, oh, okay, that wasn't the best choice.
Did you happen to have read the comic book?
No. I'm a fan of the director from Night Watch and Day Watch.
Oh yeah. I saw... Which one did I see? Either Night or Day. I can't remember which one.
I think you saw Day Watch. That was the second one, I think.
Yeah. Oh, Night Watch is far superior.
Oh, because I was about to say, that movie, it was okay, but it didn't strike me as anything, like, extremely great.
It's weird. With Day Watch, they sort of made it a little more hyper-modern stylistic for some reason, whereas Night Watch just... there's just something about it that just really works for me on all levels, and it's got the best subtitles I have ever seen.
Ooh, which font did they use there?
No, it was incorporated into the film.
Oh, it was kind of like Slumdog Millionaire? Okay.
I don't remember the subtitles being incorporated into the film there, but...
What do you mean by incorporated, like... Like what?
For example, like they pulsed, like, you know, depending on, like, it wasn't just it came up, like it might come up in a different color, it might move on the screen, it might like be in a brighter intensity to go with the music, the sound or how the person's speaking.
Oh, okay, I get that. It's always cool whenever people do that. I've seen that in animes I've watched and stuff like that. It's fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Moving on, is there any other news items you guys want to talk about that came out?
Well, actually, you went to TIFF, so you may have seen this movie, not sure if you didn't. Fish Tank, did you watch it?
No, I didn't. It was on one of my lists, but it didn't make it to the final list. But aren't we going to discuss the trailer?
Yeah. That's why I was asking, actually, to tell you the truth.
Well, I mean, I was just asking if there's any, like, before we get to the trailers, like, any... raw news items that you guys wanted to mention.
I haven't caught up on almost anything except for hearing that Diablo Cody has got the rights to do Sweet Valley
High. Yes. First she brings us Jennifer's body.
That's the only thing that popped up on my radar in the past 2 days. I've literally been uploading videos for like 48 hours straight.
Well, I guess, you know what, there's news about David Fincher? Yeah, I think who the hell is directing this bloody Facebook movie?
Yeah, the Facebook movie?
Yeah. The thing I just posted.
Timberlake and Eisenberg are definitely confirmed.
Yeah.
There's that, we could, you know. But I don't really have anything to say other than I like
Justin. Isn't it just more casting that was announced?
Yeah, it was casting announced that Jesse Eisenberg from Adventureland is going to be playing Zuckerman, and Timberlake is going to be in the film, and Andrew Garfield, who was in...
Andrew Garfield is fantastic.
Yeah, he was in a good film. I think it was Boy A.
One's Andrew Garfield? I don't know him.
Boy A. In Boy A, and he's also in The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, and he, like, literally lights up on screen. He's phenomenal.
I need to watch Boy A. I've had that for a while and still haven't got around to it.
It's very good.
Yeah. I actually think the casting is kind of funny for that movie.
Timberlake bring the sexy back in this show?
I only like Timberlake for comedy. Same with Eisenberg.
Really?
And
did you watch Alpha Dog?
I haven't watched Alpha Dog, but based on, like, Southland Tales, like, he was horrible in that film.
Who? Timbaland?
Yeah, Timbaland.
Oh, I don't think you should base anything on Southland.
Exactly. Also, he was awesome in that music video. Come on.
Okay,
come
on. That music video was awesome in Southland.
Yeah, but he's a musician, so that doesn't count.
It does, damn
he's
it.
In his home genre.
I mean, I haven't seen a thing there, but I've seen
Black Snake Moan. He wasn't bad
which
in that
was,
movie.
No, I didn't like him in that.
He was okay in Black
Snake
Moan.
I didn't say the movie was good, which
no,
it wasn't bad.
I didn't like him.
Okay. All right, sure.
And there was another film that I had written him down for, but I didn't.
He was in Shrek 3. Come on. He must have been awesome.
It was Southland Tales. Shrek 3, blue.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that movie.
I don't like the third one. But yeah, he
I don't
was
think you could
fun.
Put a performance on animated.
Anyways, I guess that's really all we can talk about there. Moving into trailers, there was a trailer for Fish Tank.
Some clothes on.
You're half naked.
Don't normally care.
Yeah, well I do now, so get dressed.
I got myself an audition.
You gonna show me?
Let's start with you, Shannon. What did you think of this trailer?
I thought this looks really good. The director also did Red Road, which was out a couple years ago. I didn't get a chance to see it. Looked pretty harsh. This one also looks harsh as well, but the acting looks solid. The young girl in it looks amazing. It looks like a pretty harsh story, so that's for me, that's kind of like I don't know. But it also has a Michael Fassbender. Is that how you say it?
Fassbender.
Yep.
Yeah,
he was
in Hunger.
And he
and
was also really
his
awesome in
Inglourious
Bastards.
Oh. There you go.
Andrew.
You just like, did you like segment that out into like every like, you know, 30 minutes we're going to mention?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so for me, this looks like a fantastic film, and I'm definitely going to see it.
Yeah.
Douglas?
Well, okay, so I'm going to give you kind of like a ball by ball on this trailer. So for the first 5 seconds, I was completely disgusted. I thought it was going to be awful because, right, and I know there's, really I shouldn't be saying this, but there were a bunch of girls dancing, so I was like, holy crap, is this going to be another bloody dance movie? So I was just like, oh, what has Andrew made me watch? But then, you know, it kind of showed its colors. And it looks like it could be decent. But at the same time, I've watched the trailer all the way through, seen all the nice little blurbs, which, by the way, is a huge crutch. Give me a movie that you don't know how to market, and I'll give you back 5 or 6 blurbs from people that like that say that they like
it. But people always do that. It's never going to stop.
I know, but whatever. Anyway, it's just a nitpick. I really don't know what this movie is about. It looks like it's about maybe...
Oh, really?
It looks like the general sort of family life gone wrong and somebody having to find themselves type of movie, but I'm not sure.
All right, just to let you know what this movie's about, it's in the trailer, but I found it kind of tough to see. Like, it was only after I had read the synopsis and rewatched the trailer that I'd seen all the bits which hinted at what the story was, which is that there's this girl who's a rebel in her family, and her mother brings a guy into their home, like, you know, as a boyfriend, and the girl is conflicted with whether she wants him as a father or a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the movie's really about, I think.
Oh, okay, so there's conflict there, I see. No, yeah, I guess I saw all of those little bits and pieces put together, but I just assumed it was, like, regular family life. But yeah, okay, all right.
I think it's... Well, for me, also, one of the weird things about it, I wasn't even sure if that was her mother or maybe a foster mother, because the age difference looked very, very small, and hence the guy who comes into the scenario in the house is also rather young, so it sort of blurs those edges of appropriateness as she's coming of age and obviously having a rough time. because they show her not getting along with a lot of people, but still having a lot of energy. I think it's for me, I just think it's a very interesting story. Ironically, it sounds very similar to something else that's coming out pretty soon.
What's that?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Of course, you know, you can't start and not.
I was like, oh, I'm going to take that back. Cause I
would it happen to be Inglourious Basterds?
It would not happen to be Inglourious
Basterds. Or Oh Brother Where.
Let's take an over under. Do you think I could do over 5 more mentions of Basterds before the show is over?
Are you going to pull a meow with this? Is that what you're trying to do, Andrew?
Meow?
Mm-mm.
You know, like in Super Troopers? Okay.
An education. That's what it
looks
like.
Oh, yeah. An education.
Well, an education looks more of a easy virtue kind of version of this film. It looks a lot more lighthearted version of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But and just more, like the basic story of a woman coming of age and having a relationship with someone who's older and not appropriate, I was just going with that aspect.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The whole back penny movie there. But yeah, the trailer, it didn't convince me, but it's got me thinking.
I have to say, and I think this is a really stupid thing to say because I'm sure it's just the accent, but the lead girl's voice reminded me a lot of... Oh,
which person are you going to say? British person? Lily Allen?
No, not Lily Allen.
Why?
We have a CD.
Context. British person that we have a CD of? Lily Allen?
The rapper.
Oh, Lady Sovereign.
Lady Sovereign. For some reason, like, it just hit me, like, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, that sounds like it's Lady Sovereign.
I love that girl. She needs to get a new record deal. She must have gotten dropped from Def Jam already. She's only done the one
album. I'm with you guys. This trailer looks pretty good. This movie looks really interesting, and I really want to see it. I mean, I don't think there's anything I can add to what you guys have said.
Yeah. So essentially just a bunch of Joes.
Yeah, a bunch of them. Another trailer that came out this week, and this one was actually showing at TIFF, I don't know if you saw it, was The Trotsky.
Leon Bronstein, we've been waiting for you.
Hi.
I like to run a pretty tight ship.
I respond passionately to structure, so.
Good.
Oh my God.
What's happening, Leon?
We want a union.
Listen, Norma Rae, it's not gonna happen.
Hey! You cheerleading? For what? For your brother becoming psychotic?
Trotsky. Sorry.
The Trotsky. No, I didn't see this one, but the people I know who saw it really enjoyed it. So, but this one, because it's Canadian, I really want to hear what you guys thought of it before I give my 2 cents.
Ooh, okay.
I didn't even know it was Canadian, but oh, okay.
Yeah, it's so Canadian.
I know Baruchel is Canadian, but I didn't know
that. You're even better than me. I didn't know Baruchel was Canadian. I knew he was Apatowian. That's what I knew, right?
You didn't get that thing and knocked up with the
Oh yeah, that's right. He always aims for the right.
I thought this trailer was pretty damn funny. I mean, it looked like, I guess I can say this now, but it didn't really seem Canadian. A Canadian version of once again the name is Rushmore, with this student in this preppy kind of school, and he's like making up all of these clubs and unions and doing all these crazy shit that the students, there might be a small group of students who want it, but it's here, neither here nor there. It's all about him doing it because he wants it and stuff, and it causes a stir in the school with the principal and all. Kind of strikes me that way, and I kind of like that about it.
Okay, so I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I watched the trailer. You saw me watch the trailer. I don't really know what happened in the trailer, because my mind kind of turned off when I saw Jay Baruchel and Sirius acting. So I was just kind of like, what? Jay Baruchel act properly? He's supposed to be in comedies. Why am I watching this?
This is a comedy.
It is a comedy?
Yes.
It doesn't look like a comedy from the trailer. I'm sorry. It looks like a 100% serious type of film. That naturally just kind of turned me off, and so I don't know if I'd like this movie. I need to like try and watch it again and see.
Shannon?
Okay. Okay, well, that's kind of funny that the two different reactions there. Because for me, I was like, when the trailer ended, I was literally laughing for a good 2 minutes. Like, I think I literally slapped my knee because it was just, I was just killing myself because it totally reads like a teen comedy. But then you add this sort of like historical element of delusion and Comfure, and what you have is only what could be considered a Canadian film, you know, and seeing just the supporting cast, I'm like, you just, like, for me, you just recognize everyone. So it's interesting because it's set in Montreal, but it's English. So that's unusual.
Those people speak French, don't they?
Well,
they say things like Paris, yeah. Je t'aime.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. I just thought it was really, really funny. And I hope it does well. Like, people were really... responding well to it, but it's just like, you know, Comfure.
Would you say that a lot of the jokes mentioned in the trailer are pretty Canadian themselves, like inside jokes that you would get that me and Douglas would just sit there going like,
No, the exception of possibly the one part of the trailer, the part of the trailer at the end, maybe. I don't know. Did you guys recognize who he was talking to?
I've actually already forgotten most of what happened in this trailer.
All I know is that dude played Donnie Donowitz in True Romance, if that's who you're talking about.
True Romance? Who's Donnie Donowitz?
The producer who bags drugs.
No, I don't think that's it. It's the part where he's on he's in the talk show.
Oh, that guy. No, I don't know who that guy is.
Okay, see, for me, that's what would just push me over the edge, because he's talking to Ben Mulrooney, who actually is on eTalk, and he's like, does red carpet events, and he hosted like some Canadian Idol show. Like, he's just like, that is just, it's just funny. Like, he's just like, that's someone that you would recognize if you were Canadian.
Wow. Well, I guess I'm a yes. Shannon's a yes. Douglas, you're a maybe.
I need to figure out what this movie is doing before I say anything.
I think it's strange that you didn't pick up that it was a comedy.
I think from the first moment you see Baruchel, you can tell. And I don't mean that Baruchel is in the movie, you know, it's a comedy. I mean, from when he comes in and the principal is like, "Hi, I've been waiting to meet you," and he's like, "Well, you know, I respond well to structure," and so that was pretty, like, that worked.
That was funny.
Yeah,
that was funny.
No, Douglas says no. He doesn't know what we're talking about. Another trailer that hit this week was this one called Everybody's Fine with Robert De Niro.
They all canceled on me on the last minute, so now I'm going to surprise them. I want to see my son.
Very good.
Know what he does?
Absolutely no idea. Thank you. Next.
What do you think of my work? You've been looking at it ever since we left the station.
Through wire?
I ran 1,000 miles of wire a week, nonstop. All for my children. Million feet of wire to get them where they are today.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at you.
I'm not angry.
Oh, it's got a handle.
Well, of course it's got a handle.
I can't believe it.
Surprise.
What are you doing here?
I came to spend some time with my son, the conductor.
Hi, Dad.
This holiday season.
This is where you live?
No, this is an elevator.
Very good.
You don't know how to use chopsticks.
You like making fun of me, don't you?
Yeah, you're funny.
Yeah, funny, huh?
A journey he never expected to make.
Never said I was conducting, Dad.
But the drum? What happened? What are you hiding from me, you and the others?
I don't know what to say at all.
Became exactly what his family needed.
Like, I want to start with you this time, Shannon. What do you think of this trailer?
Wait, hang on. Why don't we ever start with you? What's up with
Douglas? Start with Douglas. Are you, huh? Andrew?
What, do you want me to start?
Yes, you never start. You always pass the buck. Pass it.
That way I can make fun of you guys.
Take a stand. You tell us. What did you think?
Exactly. No more dittos for you. That's all you do. You draw from what everyone else says, and then you say,
"Yeah, that's kind of all right." Thumbs up.
So, what did you think, sir?
I think this was a decent trailer, but this plays itself as a kind of movie which would fall under the just above meh. Where, I mean, I get it. It's one of these family movies where he goes around and he has a couple of funny moments, a couple of heartfelt moments, and in the end they all come together and he gets to meet all of his children and what they're doing and find out all these things that they've been hiding, and I love that Sam Rockwell is in it. I like Drew Barrymore. I like. I think she probably won't play a good role in this film, but I like her and stuff like that. And I like Robert De Niro. He's been doing a lot of movies recently.
Has he really?
Yeah, because I mean, you just saw what just happened.
Okay.
He did Righteous Kill the other day.
The other day, wasn't that like a year and a half ago?
I think it was last year. I think he's had like two or three other movies since then, and this. Let me check his IMDb, but he looks like he's been doing a lot of stuff.
Not very good stuff.
Well, not. I'm not saying.
I mean, for example, What Just Happened was horrible. I'm waiting for it, Andrew. Come on.
What Just Happened?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I like that movie. I'm moving on.
Aw, you're supposed to get all angry?
No, we did that in the last episode.
Aww.
Go back and listen if you want to hear the argument.
No, it was okay, but not so great. Anyway.
Yeah, so this trailer looks kind of alright. It's a movie that I'd watch, but I'm not really jumping for. Douglas?
I'm kind of in a similar headspace to you on
this. So you're saying ditto?
No, but I'm going to elaborate. the funny thing is, like, this movie doesn't look like it's going to be great, but at the same time, it looks like the type of movie that I would actually really enjoy. So I'm hoping that it turns out to be like that. Like, I enjoy some of those, like, heartfelt Drew Barrymore type of movies sometimes. And so I'll watch this and hope that it is what it advertises. If not, I'll be very upset.
And that leaves only you, Shannon.
That leaves only me. Well, when I was in the process of watching the trailer, I actually got to say, I was going against my spoiler-free nature, and I wanted to know what they were talking about. They were like, because they lead into this, that there's something he doesn't know, and then you actually get no hint of what it could be. And I'm like, hey, I want to know. You know, but also I want to know because I probably won't see the film. Like, you know, you can tell it's going to come out around Christmas, and it's going to be that sort of one that people pick to see that's not very threatening and is probably very feel good and has actors you recognize. And it could be good. Like, I'd watch it if it was on TV, but it's not going to be what I pick. Because it's not really the kind of film I go for. I like films that have something different about them.
Yeah. What are you laughing at here now, boy?
I'm looking at the chat. I'm looking through what they've been talking about.
And what have they been talking about that's so hilarious? Because I can't see it because the computer's on the other side of the room.
They're talking about, like, Jamaican talk, like how we sound.
They wanted the pronunciation on a couple of words, so I worked them into what I said.
What?
I think they're talking about process, the word process.
Like, process, you mean? I hate process.
Process
is so sucky. It's process.
I don't know who this trill flick dude is, but hi.
That's one of my buddies.
Oh, cool. Hi, trill flick. Whatever.
I actually don't know how to pronounce that.
One thing that Douglas mentioned to me, and I'm going to steal his thunder here, is
this?
During this trailer, you see the point when he actually gets, when De Niro gets up and gets on the train.
Oh, you ass!
He's talking to this woman, a random woman, and he's like, do you like my work? And, you know, Douglas told me he was looking down and he was thinking about it, so he was like, I wonder if he's going to say that he's God.
No laugh.
I'm hurt.
Yeah. No, I thought it was going to be crazy, that's all. Because you look outside and you don't really see anything. You just see all, you know,
the
countryside,
world.
the sunset and all that good stuff. But he's really talking about The Wire.
Yeah, anyways. That's really all it was.
He completely lost me. It was like...
Yeah, you know, he's in the train and he's talking about how he did The Wires for the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, imagine in that scenario, instead of saying that he did The Wires, he was like, yep, I did all of that out there, all of the world. That was me. I made it.
You're welcome.
Okay. I get it now.
Anyways, I think we're going to be getting into the review now. But Shannon, you said you haven't seen the film.
Wait, what did you think of the film anyway, Shannon?
Nice. What did I think?
It was great.
Yes, Douglas is harassing you for no reason. Because I think he's just bitter because not only did you say you didn't like Inglourious Basterds, but you didn't like the Coen Brothers.
Look, I don't care about Inglourious Basterds. QT can, you know, jump off a riverboat into a lake while paddling if you know, that doesn't matter. But, Coen Brothers.
Oh, come on, guys. Do we have to get all feel good again? We got back to the point where it was all good. I like Hudsucker Proxy.
We're in the process of getting there. Anyways, you said that you haven't seen this film, so I think we're going to, unless you want to hang around, we're going to say goodbye. Is that?
I think we're going to say goodbye because I, you know, maybe I will see the film. I'll probably listen to you guys after and see what you thought of it, if that's okay.
All right, so is there anywhere you want to point the people listening to the internet?
Yeah, you can find me at moviemoxie.blogspot.com or twitter.com/moviemoxie. And yeah, there's lots of videos from TIFF there right now if you're curious to see introductions and Q&As. As well as reviews and pictures and stuff like that.
All right, thank you once again, Shannon, for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks. It's always a blast. Usually.
Bye, Shannon.
Next time, I promise not to bring up Quentin Tarantino or the Coens.
I'll hold you to it.
I make no such promise.
All right. Thanks and good night.
Night.
Okay. That was Shannon. Follow her on Twitter and read her site. She's cool. So yeah, the film of the week we decided to look at was Nights and Weekends.
Why are you worried about specialness?
Well, do you feel like you're a charmed person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. That's why.
That's why you're worried about specialness?
And that's why it's gotta be special.
This movie!
So I want Douglas to start this, because he picked it.
I did pick it. Okay, this movie, called Nights and Weekends, is directed and written, well, I should say probably co-directed and co-written, by its stars, one Greta Gerwig and Joe Swanberg. Now, the reason I heard about this film, the reason I know about this film, and the reason I wanted to watch it was not this Swanberg guy. I don't know who the hell he is. Apparently, however, he has done another movie with Greta, who is the reason I wanted to watch this movie, called LOL. But I haven't watched that movie yet, so whatever.
I like the poster for LOL.
I know, me too. Anyways. Right. So I know Greta Gerwig from two of her previous movies, one being Baghead, which I thought was great, and another being Hannah Takes the Stairs, which I thought was also pretty decent.
I'd just like to let you know, what you're doing right now is what you hate about trailers, when they put from the people who gave you...
I know, but this is a build-up to then show the crash, all right? I wouldn't say it's a crash, because guess what? I thought that the acting in this movie, if it can even be considered acting, sometimes I think they're actually just playing themselves, was pretty spot on. And what they were trying to portray, they did portray. This movie is about a relationship and its many stages. It's not, you know, one day after another. It's actually split up into two sections. There's one section early on when they're
together,
and then another one a year later when they're not so together, but
they're not together,
you know.
But they're cool.
And then they're not cool, and then they're cool,
and then they're not cool.
Yeah. But then they're cool.
But how does it end? Do we keep picking the petals off?
From the beginning, you get the reason for the name, Nights and Weekends. Clearly, that's the only time that these two guys meet, because they're obviously on...
long distance.
Yeah, a very long distance relationship. One's, I don't know where they are.
New York and Chicago.
Awesome. You're better than me.
Because I'm assuming... I'm kind of implying, because it begins with Chicago, and they're talking about how she came to him, and then the second part, he goes to New York when he goes to her, so I'm assuming that's
not the second part. That was actually... In
the first part, but, like, that's what they do, and so you can know it's New York and Chicago.
Yeah, so this movie was... essentially it was just all about this relationship, and it was just these two guys. For a couple seconds you saw the guy's brother, who is actually played by Jay Duplass, I believe, who is one of the masterminds behind Baghead. Cool dude. But I don't know, the film, it never quite worked for me, because after about 5 to 10 minutes, I was kind of just like, hurry up and get to the point. Or not quite get to the point, but let's have something happen. Because most of the movie was just them making out, them having sex, them...
It was making basically out, porn.
And then having sex. And there was nothing more to it. But at the same time, the conversation that they had, I mean, it was, you know, heartfelt. Some of it, at least. And she was very odd. She played the quirky love interest. Well, I shouldn't even say love interest, because it wasn't an interest. She was, you know...
The love.
The love, yeah. So there was something about that that was kind of neat. But the strings that could have worked together and come together to make a good movie, I think just didn't mesh the way they should have. And that kind of annoyed me. Because take out the gratuitous sex, which isn't a bad thing, and add a couple more of these threads that they could have woven, and it could have actually been a really awesome movie. So that's, I guess, what I think about that. I really don't want to get into too many spoilers, because the only thing to spoil is, like, there are very few things happen in this movie. So anything you need to say, it's going to spoil something.
You see, this is a mumblecore film, and mumblecore is something that, it's a recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
In film today. And I think the first film, mumblecore, that I had seen may have been that one that you weren't too impressed with, but me and Damien love, Search of a Midnight Kiss. Mm-hmm. I'd have to check if I've seen something before that, but I think that was the first one.
You know which one I really want to watch? Medicine.
Yeah, I want to watch that one too.
And
you see, here's the thing about mumblecore that gets to me, and I think is why people tend to love it and champion mumblecore films when they come around, is the sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people, like, whenever you watch a romantic comedy and you're seeing, I don't know, Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock, let's take that pair up that came up earlier this year with The Proposal, and you see them give off certain lines to each other which seem cheesy or whatever, you laugh at them, because you can tell that these people are acting and they're kind of forcing it. When in mumblecore you see it, and it's still cheesy, and the thing about it is that's what really happens. People say cheesy shit when they're together to each other, and you might chuckle at it, but because of how it feels, the film, with no soundtrack, no minimal background noise, and feeling like you're just a third person walking around with these two people talking to each other, that you get past the cheesiness and you start to feel like these guys are just being sincere about what they're telling each other in their relationship. And that's what I think is the main draw of the mumblecore genre. And the thing about this film is, as you said, all the gratuitous sex just takes away from that sincerity. Like, I mean, I spoke earlier about how movies were made better because Jessica Biel was in it, but at the same time, you kind of need to keep the story going, with even if you have the sex or the nudity or even just the hot chick in the room kind of thing going. I think that was the main problem with this film. Also, at the same time, what I think was a really good thing that this film did was, as you said, we had the first part, which is them together, and the second part, which is them not together, but kind of cool with each other, kind of.
Yeah.
I liked how they didn't explicitly tell us that they weren't together in that second part.
Yeah, that's true. You had to figure it out
that these guys, they didn't look like the same couple you were watching 2 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, are they together? Are they not together? And after a while, you kind of get the idea, but they even can't, after you've figured out that they're not together, they even seed you something that may insinuate that they are together.
Well, no, they don't. You know what they do? They show, and they show this clearly, that Greta Gerwig really wants that dude.
And I thought that was really cool, those moments.
Yes.
Because, as I said, the sincerity is what really hits you with these films.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. Did I like this film? Not that much. Would I ever watch it again? No. I'd go and watch one that I like Search of a Midnight Kiss. And I've been meaning to watch Baghead, but I've never gotten around to it.
Oh, good movie. Watch it.
I remember listening to Film Spotting, and I think it's Matthew's always saying that he can't wait, and I can't wait either, for the mumblecore genre to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
To become the sincerity and the low budget and the fun that mumblecore is,
uh-huh,
plus a proper plot.
Well, some of them do have proper plots, though. Well, then again, plot.
Like, a good story, not just like we're sitting down with these three people exploring
a relationship.
Not just sitting down with these two people for 2 days.
So you have to not just explore a relationship, but also have like a car chase and bank heist.
You have to have Star Trek. You have to have the Enterprise swooping down and Romulan ships and. I don't know.
Yeah,
I was thinking about Star Trek earlier today.
Yeah, I wasn't. It's funny, I saw a Star Trek DVD on Amazon, and I was like, Star Trek came out? And I realized, no, it was just the first six movies.
I think that's coming out near Christmas.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, I thought this movie, it was a disappointment. A huge disappointment, because I really thought it was going to be really good. But at the same time, I wouldn't say it was horrible. I'd say they did a few things right, but not enough for me to say, yes, I'd buy this, or I'd watch it again, you know.
And I think I have to copy and paste one of Damien's favorite lines to mention on his podcast. If I want to watch porn, there's the internet. It's really easy to find.
Yes. I was surprised about that. I was like, so, when are we going to get to the talking?
Like, I mean, the movie...
Don't you guys cuddle?
I mean, the movie starts with them ripping each other's clothes off, and the movie ends with them ripping each other's clothes off. This movie, whoa. And that's not really a spoiler, just to let everyone know.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I don't think there's much else we can mention on that, really.
This is true. That movie, it just, you know, it sucks the life out of you. Because you wanted it to be so good, and then it wasn't.
No, you wanted it to be so good.
Oh, just me?
Yeah. I was watching it, and after like the first 15 minutes, I was like, oh, porn. I know the quality to look for in porn.
Oh.
I hate you.
Anyways, I guess that's it. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about before we
sign off. You know what I want to talk about?
Star Trek?
No. I want to talk about the fact that I'm hungry.
You're hungry?
Yes.
Alright, we'll deal with food in a second.
I need something to eat. What should I eat?
We can go watch Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
But then I'd be watching more food. That wouldn't be good for my
food
situation. I need food in my mouth and in my tummy, in my belly, as Fat Bastard would say. But, you know,
yummy in your tummy.
Oh, I love Jordan. She is so funny.
Anyways, that's all we really have to say tonight. Thanks for listening. This was the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
Once again, I'd like to thank Shannon for joining us. Check out our site, moviemoxie.blogspot.com.
Thank you, Shannon, you Cohen brother hater.
As usual, you can hear us live every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream.
And you can hear us delayed every, say, Tuesday morning, the day before the next podcast.
Whenever I happen to put it on the site on gmanreviews.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at gmanreviews.
I'm on there too. Yay. And my name is DJ. I lost his name. What was that look for? Huh? Huh? You think I'm crazy?
Nobody posted digits.
Okay, let's just wait.
Good night. Thanks for listening.